Acts chapter 12 is where we'll be this morning for our main passage. As we look at this and we read this passage, it always brings questions to my mind, and I don't think they're bad questions. It's the passage where Jesus, or where God, brought Peter out of prison. But right prior to this, he left James in there to die, and I'll never understand why, because I'm not God. But I want us to look at this passage this morning to understand the power of our God, but not just the power, but what he has for us as well. And so I'm going to start in chapter 12, verse 5. So if you'd read along with me. It says, Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And when Herod was about to bring him out, that night Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the doors were keeping the prison. Now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, Gird yourself, tie on your sandals. So he did. And he said, Put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him, and did not know that what was done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they were past the first and the second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down the street, and immediately the angel departed from him. And when Peter had come to himself, he said, Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectations of the Jewish people. For when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary and the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked on the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, You're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, It is his angel. Now Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But motioning to them with his hand to keep silent, he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said to go and tell the things to James and the brothers, and departed and went to another place. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for your word. Lord, may it become so real to us today that it changes everything about us. Lord, we know it says it's alive. We know it says it's sharper than a two-edged sword. But Lord, if I ignore it, then it does nothing. Lord, today we want to surrender ourselves before you to hear your word, what you have for us, that we might be able to glorify and honor you more. In your name we pray. Amen. Like I said, we've heard this passage many times, and here Peter lay in this prison cell, basically with a death sentence hanging above him. And God sends this angel down into the prison. He's laying there chained between two men. Others are outside the door watching. The angel comes in and shines a light in the cell. Wouldn't that wake people up? It didn't. It didn't wake them up because they were not expecting it. They had their eyes closed to it. Whatever the reason, it did not wake them up. Even the most religious man of the bunch that's laying there chained up, he did not expect that angel to come in that room. He did not expect that light to be shown in the darkness. Now, they probably had torches down there at some point, someplace in the prison cell, but this was a different light. This light came because of the angel that God had sent. But nobody noticed it. The prisoners, because they may not have believed in it. Peter, because maybe he wasn't expecting it. Today, there are so many people in our world that are missing the light. There are those out there that don't believe, so they're not looking for the light that God has in Jesus Christ, the light of the world. They're not seeing it. They don't believe in it. They're not looking for it. But the sadder part is, Peter believed what God could do, but he wasn't expecting it. The sadder part today is in churches. Because we believe in the power of God. We believe Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And many times we still don't see it because we're not expecting it. We even have our eyes closed to it. Maybe Peter had come to the point thinking, okay, I'm chained between two guys. It's useless. I'm just going to go to sleep and know that tomorrow is the end, and I'll go to be with God. Sometimes I think we get that same attitude. Well, it's as bad as it can get. I know God's going to take care of it eventually. And we just ignore the fact that God wants to deliver us from our bondage today. But we're not expecting it. Our eyes are closed to it. Let's look at what God did that night. It says he came as the angel into the dark center of the prison. I don't care how deep and dark your problem may seem, God can meet you there. And maybe you don't even think it's that bad. Maybe there's enough other light out there. Maybe there's enough torches that it's not that bad. Maybe you're just focusing on the end, and sometimes that's what all that gets us through, and I understand that. But we also have to understand that God will meet us where we are in our bondage. Well, Pastor Steve, I'm not in bondage. You're not in bondage in the fact that Jesus Christ has taken away your sins. You are a saved child of God. But this world is in bondage. And we live in this world. And so because of that, we are surrounded by bondage. But this angel comes when the death sentence is hanging over his head, brings a light that nobody saw. God wants to meet you in your bondage. Don't close your eyes. He came to meet him there. And then it says that the angel, and he's standing beside him, and it says he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise quickly." So many times I think this part of this passage is overlooked. Maybe not the part where the angel had to gouge him in the side, kick him in the side, punch him in the side, whatever. When he struck him in the side, however, that was to get his attention. How many times has God had to punch you in the side or hit you with a two before in the forehead to get your attention? Because he's there ready to deliver you, ready to give you freedom from your bondage, and you're sleeping right through it. We need to understand that he calls him expecting a response. Now think about this for just a minute. He gets his attention by gouging him in the ribs. Peter's sound asleep, chained between two, and the angel strikes him on the side and says this, "Arise quickly." Now, if that was you or me in that cell, and the other one of us came to rescue us, then we would need to be quiet, and we would need to be quick to get out of there, correct? But this angel didn't have to worry about timing. He didn't have to worry about them waking up. He didn't have to worry about making noise. Why did he say, "Arise quickly"? Do you ever think about that? Why did the angel, after he got his attention, say, "Arise quickly"? When he knew that they were going to walk out of there, right past sleeping guards, right through the door past other guards, and then through a gate that's going to open by himself. Why did it need to be quickly? I think this is where we fall short right here. Because when God tells us to do something, our response needs to be immediate. It has nothing to do with the angel. The angel had it under control. God had it under control that they were not going to wake up, and if they did, God could have took care of that. The arise quickly was for Peter. The arise quickly is for you and I. When he tells us to do something, we need to respond immediately. Hesitation in a response is the same as disobedience. Arise quickly was to see if Peter had any doubt. Arise quickly. So he gets his attention. He tells him to rise quickly. Surely that should be enough. And I'm paying attention. I'm here. I'm ready to go. He stands up. He does what God calls, and what happens? It says his chains fell off. When you give God your attention and you respond immediately, the chains can fall off. When you hesitate, when I hesitate, and we wonder why those chains don't fall off, that may be why. Let's go on. The chains fall off. And they don't just take off walking. They don't just go. So many times when the chains fall off, when we see that idea, that understanding that everything, that bondage is no longer holding us, what do we want to do? We just want to run. But that's not what he's supposed to do. Get this. The chains fall off. He's standing before an angel, and yes, it tells us he thinks this is a vision, but he's moving in the vision. He's doing this. And the angel tells him, gives him directions. Gird yourself. Tie on your sandals and put on your garment. Three specific instructions. He gives him directions. And I think those three things, yes, if a prisoner or somebody in that day and time, if a person laid down to rest, they took off their outer garment. They took off their sandals, and they even loosened what they called a girdle, but it was basically what wrapped around their waist like a belt that held everything together. And so it loosened that girdle around their waist so that they could rest. And the angel says, get up and gird yourself. You can look all throughout the Bible, and anytime someone was going to get up and do work, the first thing they would do is they would gird themselves. Elijah would gird himself and tuck his outer robe in the belt and take off running. That's what they would do, is they would gird themselves to prepare to do something. He's taken off the chains. And now he says, I want you to prepare to do something. Too many times we want the freedom, but we don't want to prepare to do something. If he doesn't do this, where does he stand? If he stops right now, where does he stand? He stands in prison, behind locked gates, behind locked doors, between two guards. And yes, his chains are off, but he's still locked in there. He's still in prison. He's still in bondage. So many times we want that little bit of freedom when the chains fall off. But when God gives us directions to get ready to do something, we begin to hesitate. Then he tells him, he says, tie on your shoes. He had taken them off, obviously, and so the angel says, tie on your shoes. Because if we're going to walk out of here, you're going to need your shoes on. So you gird yourself and you get ready, and then you put your shoes on. You're ready to walk out of here now. You gird yourself and you're ready to do what God tells you to do. But the next thing he tells you to do is to walk like he wants you to walk. Be prepared to walk for God. Now, too many times, I want to go do my thing. I just want out of the prison cell. And yeah, God, you want me to be prepared to do something. I'm girded and I'm ready. But how many times have you been ready and done absolutely nothing? I've done that many times. Not proud of it, but I have. And he says, you've got to be ready to walk and follow. He's going to tell us here, the next thing he tells us to do, he says, put on your garment. They would have an outer robe, an outer garment, a piece of material that would be their warmth. It would be protection. It would be everything that they owned, really. And they would have taken it off and laid it aside. And the angel says, now put on your garment. Because we're going outside. Too many times, I'm willing to get ready. I may even prepare to walk. I'll read the Bible. I will take the instructions that he's giving me. And then when he says, okay, now put on your outer garment and let's go. Are you ready to follow him? That's taking everything you have. He left nothing inside. You gird yourself. You tie on your sandals. You wrap on your outer garment. There is nothing else left of Peter's in that cell. Why not leave your outer garment? Why not just go without your shoes? Because you're not coming back here. Too many times I'm comfortable. So comfortable I can sleep between the guards that are holding me. That's how we act as Christians. We let the world around us become so comfortable that I can sleep in the midst of my bondage. And God says, I don't want you there. I want you somewhere else. Gird yourself, tie on your shoes, put on your outer garment. Well, surely that's enough. Surely we would be ready to do everything he's called us to do. But after he puts on the outer garment, he says, and follow me. Man, I can do everything that he tells me to do. I can arise quickly. I can gird myself. I can tie on my sandals and I can put on my outer garment. And I can be ready to follow him. And still be in bondage. I have to follow him. for freedom. When did Peter get out? Here, he's ready. He's through all these things. He's done all these things. He's followed the directions for his deliverance. But he's still in prison until he follows. We have to understand that following and obeying are a process. Well, I stepped out of the choir and accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. I professed my faith in Him when I was 21 years old. Understand what I'm about to say. You professing your faith means nothing. Hear me, because you're going to take this wrong if you don't. Making a profession of faith means nothing. It's possessing faith that means everything. There are so many. It tells us of disciples in the Bible that had followed Jesus. They had professed to follow Him. But when things got difficult, they turned away. And if you'd have found them after that, they would not have possessed a faith in Jesus Christ. It's not me saying something happened. It's living like something has happened. I can still be in prison. I can still be in bondage in this world, having professed faith. But when I possess that faith, that means I have it. Doesn't mean I just talked about it. Doesn't mean I just claimed it. It means I have to have it. Peter is doing all the right things. He got up. It took a little nudging. The chains fell off. He did all these things. He girded, he tied, he put on. But until he followed, he never found freedom. And until you and I follow daily, we will never find freedom. And you can talk to a lot of Christians. You may have even been there yourself. I've been there myself. When I don't feel like I'm living in freedom, because I'm not following. Now, are my sins still forgiven? Yes. But why am I struggling? Why am I in bondage with so many things? Why are we in bondage with so many things when our sins are forgiven, when we've confessed and given our life to Jesus Christ? Have we really given our life to Jesus Christ? Or just that one day? Or just a few days here and there? Do you possess a faith that changes your life? One that will make you stand up and obey immediately. One that will cause you to be ready to do what He says. One that will cause you to walk the way He wants you to walk. One that will cause you to take everything you have in your life and follow Him daily. Because if we don't, we will never have deliverance and we will never have freedom. But we can always be comfortable in that cell. Now, I say this not to make us look bad because things are not always going right in our life. I say this because when those things are going wrong in our life, there is bondage there, but it can be freedom. It can be deliverance in the darkest times, but not without doing these things. Not without doing these things. I'm going to close with this. As I was wrapping up my study time again last night, all I could do was make this personal, and I hope you do the same. I need to see His light in the darkness. I need to hear His call. Man, He needs to wake me up sometimes. And that's a scary, scary thought. When we say, God, You need to wake me up. because you and I don't know what he's going to do to wake us up. I need delivered from any bondage, but that will only come through following his directions. I need strengthened to follow him to true freedom. But it's there because of the blood of Jesus Christ, because of what this resembled this morning, what we remembered this morning, his death on the cross for us, his burial and his resurrection, make it possible that no matter how dark, how bad my bondage is, no matter what I have to live through in this world, I know my Savior walks before me. And I know he's already done everything to deliver me. I just have to obey him, his word, and I have to follow him through his Holy Spirit. So when we walk out of here, we don't walk out of here thinking, it's such a gloomy message because of all these things that you have to do. No, it's these things that you get to do because he loves you that much. He did not leave him in that prison, and he does not leave you in your bondage. We stay in our spiritual bondage because we refuse to follow him. This morning, when you walk out of here, if you walk out and you're in bondage, that's on you. Walk out of here seeking to follow him, like the chains have just dropped off. Because he's taking care of that. He is taking care of that. And he will take care of that. Possess your faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you for the blessings. Lord, so many that we see, so many that we don't see. But God, more than anything right now, I thank you for the freedom and the deliverance that you offer through the blood of Jesus. Lord, if there be anybody in this room today that does not have that, I pray that you would open their heart and open their mind and draw them to you. For those that know you, Lord, help us to live in freedom. I thank you and I praise you, Jesus, for the power and the blood of Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.